a Boston Sports Original on the go.
Wherever you go.
Just download the Odyssey app.
We're right back to it. It's KJ Carson on WEEI.
Yeah, we had to get some of the old AAF evil stuff on for Halloween Eve, did we not, Fitzy?
That's right.
That's some war pigs.
This is a great one. By the way, KJ, you're calling tonight Devil's Night. Had me doing a little Google action during the break.
Yeah.
Check this out. Did you realize, depending on where you live, you may know Halloween Eve by a number of different names? In New Jersey, you know what they call it?
Devil's Night?
Mischief Night.
Yeah, that's what Mischief Night. That's where I'm from in New Jersey, but I call it Mischief Night. Where do they call it Devil's Night? I've heard that.
Okay.
Plus it sells better on the
most air. Most appropriately, it's called Devil's Night in Detroit.
yeah, because have you seen the highlights usually they show after Devil's Night?
Hey now.
I'm serious.
Midwesterners might call it Gate Night. And do you know what they call it in Ohio and in parts? Certainly not the parts I'm from. But do you know what they call it in Ohio and parts of New England? You're going to love this.
Something Eve.
Nope.
I'm out of guesses.
October 30th in parts of New England and Ohio is called Cabbage Night.
Cabbage Night? Jeez. Oh, my gosh.
Talk Did not see that one coming stiff. From a million different.
It's Cabbage different Night? Like, yeah. I mean.
Oh,
like,
yes, it's Cabbage Night.
Wait, so, we're here so I would fright. Ask, when is Corned Beef Night? Is that last night or is that tomorrow night? So that way it's cabbage and corned beef. Like, what are we doing? Cabbage
March
Night?
March 17th there, boy.
Thank you. Right? It's a Cabbage Night. Like, if you hear someone say, oh, tonight's Cabbage Night, you'd be like, oh, my God. Were you born under a wharf?
Unless it's Friday and I'm getting paid, that's when it's cabbage night. You know what
I'm saying? That's what I'm saying. There's green in my hand, baby. Maybe I should talk to Clark about some of those fuzz and some money. The Clark reference, just get the Odyssey app, WEEI. Go to WEEI at night. You can hear KJ and Fitzy from the previous hour. Look, that's Gerard Mayo talking about him and Elliot Wolf's process on how, because do you believe, because I think what's going to happen is there are going to be some guys out the door on Tuesday. And there may be one or two guys in the door on Tuesday. You think that happens?
I would love to. When I saw that Josina Anderson tweet last night before bedtime, unlike a lot of people saying that in the context of which, in case anyone doesn't know, was that she was hearing sources telling her the Patriots might actually be buyers as well as sellers come trade deadline, and they're monitoring all the other 31 teams and which direction they may be going. Now, obviously, they've already sold off one part at a discount price in Joshua Uche to the Chiefs.
Yeah.
They could be buyers. I love the idea that they could get aggressive. Not because, no, everybody, it's not LFG time. They're not making a run. I don't believe they're going to be the fourth 2-6 team to make the postseason. But, KJ, when you have so many different spots on your roster, so many different support pieces that are needed, and if someone is willing to move on from somebody because they want to purge some salary or they're looking to just go a different direction, maybe it's not working out personality-wise, then you jump on that potential D-tackle, offensive tackle, wide receiver. If they present themselves at a price that's maybe 80 cents on the dollar, hell yeah.
Yeah, I think it's one of those situations where we hear winning cures all. Well, I think in this situation, winning gets the conversation moving in a different direction, right? I think if you'd looked at another straight loss, if this team was just sitting on one win, I think it would be like, who are we really buying and what do we really have to sell? I would say if anything they have to sell, it's like we've got a quarterback that we believe in and shows that they're ready and they're more than competent in this league. So that may, because I think it's going to be easier for the Patriots to get offensive tackles in the free agent market than it will be to get star receivers, right? Like an offensive lineman's thinking like, I just want my kids to have a good school to go to and family, and maybe we could visit Harvard a couple times, and hey, if my doctor could be at BMC or Children's Hospital, that's a great thing. Receivers are kind of like, where to party at? So if you at least can get those guys who possibly want to be here and not get caught up in the ancillary things that New England doesn't offer, I think it's with the offensive tackles and the offensive linemen, and that may be their move. But I think that all is predicated on, one, the performance you've seen already from Drake May, and two, you don't have to deal with potentially like a diva not getting the ball enough or anything like that. I think that's something you'd want to vet out. This is where the argument of like, what are you playing for? Yeah, don't go get T. Higgins now just for him to tell you, no, I'm not coming back. You probably still work with what you got and find out what you got, who becomes like the third receiver in what you're ultimately trying to do. But in terms of offensive linemen, you can start building that now, and those guys help be part of that offensive leadership culture in the locker room. I think that could be the ideal move.
How much more enticing do you believe New England became as a football destination just by finally playing Drake May and getting these 2.5 games of him looking like he's a top half of the league quarterback already? How much more enticing do you think that made the Patriots destination just with that little bit of tape of May?
Well, Fitzy, that's why I thought you probably would start Drake May around week 7, right? This is what I was saying going into the season, that you couldn't wait till week 12, because if he shows to pop, then that's something you can sell in terms of people who may consider coming here. Offensive linemen, what are the first thing they're thinking about? Protecting that guy, protecting their quarterback. So if you see, hey, there's a guy who will go out here and make a play for us. Here's a guy who will use his legs. Here's a guy that will spin around and extend a play. I want to play for that type of guy versus, hey, I'm just seeing Jacoby Brissett out there, and if the guy's not ready, I don't know what the guy's character is going to be once he gets in between the lines. So playing Drake May, I think, was a must before the trade deadline, just so that way teams or players and their agents can see, okay, what could we potentially be working with? And you know they have a lot of cap space, and you know that you could probably get 4 linemen salaries done for the price of 2 great receivers. Mm-hmm. So again, like I said, I believe that the Patriots have a better chance of, on the free agent side, fixing it through offensive linemen and paying that money out than trying to chase receiver 1 or over here or 1 over there and losing out, even when you're offering more than what the player ultimately gets, like with Ayuk.
Yeah. I can't love. See, because there is that unpredictability with a wide receiver. Like, let's say T. Higgins is like, I know I'm not going to get a bag here next year. I'm happy to go anywhere. And let's say the Patriots get in touch with him and Cincinnati loses, goes 3-6, right? Okay, now they offer a third, which could potentially be a high third, and Cincinnati says the hell with it because we're not going to get anything for him next year. They take it. He comes here, and he's like, ooh, man, it's cold. These roads make no sense. They bowl differently. They do a lot. I'm not sure if I love this place.
Nightclub scene is far away. Yeah, I got to live in Providence because of my millions. You know, I mean, these are things we laugh about, but these are really real things. Right. Like, think about it. When Barmore was pulled over, the first thing you're like, wow, they're living in Providence now. Like, they're really getting out of Massachusetts with this tax thing. So that's the other part of it is, what Calvin Ridley's, I guess what Kraft said, like his wife was kind of like not really keen on coming here. You know, like if he's going to like be married to this person, have all that money, the last thing she was like, well, I don't want to stay in the marriage. And now you got to come play here and give up half your check. So players are looking at those things. I would say an offensive lineman wouldn't get hit as much with the millionaire's tax, right? So you know, your lineman's not making $40 million a year and thinking, good gracious, I'm losing like 1.6 a year. So I just think that there are things that are advantageous for the Patriots right now because of, like we mentioned, 2 things. Drake May showing himself to win a game. Think about it. He technically gets credit for winning a game, even though he was, you know, he's the starter of record for the game that they won. Mm-hmm. And
which is a weird NFL rule.
Right, but you wouldn't take it? That's like saying Mac Jones's 1 fourth quarter comeback was against Houston, as bad as that team was playing against Houston that day. You're like, was it really a comeback, or was it almost be able to scream fest? Yeah. Okay, right. So sometimes you take it where you can get it. And I think it's one of those situations where, like, I think another thing that's helped out, what has it been, 2 games in a row that Drake May has been part of an opening drive that's ended up in points?
Yeah. So the first game against Houston, it was 3-and-out. And then,
right. But in the Jacksonville game, it was. And then in this one.
Right. In the opening drive, he scooted in on his feet. Yeah,
there you go.
2 out of 3 games. Damn.
There you go. So if you see something like that, that says, okay, this guy can get us fired up by getting points on the board early. Something we'd think of, like John and I were talking about, like, could you relive the Jets-Patriots game between Mac Jones and Zach Wilson from a couple of years ago where you were just like, you know what? Hell, send out
this
the Boy Scouts.
Get
a safety. Get me out of here. So you now know that you have a quarterback who can get drives going. Not like, hey, get us into field goal range and take the 3 and Ben, don't break for the defense. Now you're like, okay, there's a proactive quarterback that's there. offensive linemen are going to want to play for a guy like that. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. We'll get to Steve here shortly on the line. Plus, we'll get to your text messages. And what contracts may be favorable for the Patriots to look at going into next week? But right now, it's time to trend with Zach Coe.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now, brought to you by Timeout Market Boston. Patriots back on the practice field today ahead of Sunday's matchup in Nashville versus the Titans. Christian Ellis and Viridian Lowe were among those who were absent. Among those who were listed as limited were quarterback Drake May, wide receiver Jalen Polk, safeties Kyle Duggar and Marte Mapu, and defensive end Keon White. Pats take on the Titans Sunday afternoon, kickoff set for 1 p.m. Celtics in action tonight in Indianapolis, taking on the Pacers in an Eastern Conference Finals rematch. Sam Hauser is back, available after missing the last couple games with a back injury. Indiana is without center Miles Turner. Right now, the Celtics lead that one 13-12. Scratch that. The Pacers just took the lead 16-13. Rough night for the Bruins last night as they were shut out by the Philadelphia Flyers 2-0. They end their three-game homestand 1-2 and now find themselves in the basement of the Atlantic Division. Next up for the Bees, a trip to Carolina to take on the Hurricanes tomorrow night. Puck drop set for 7 p.m. Yankees stayed alive in the World Series with an 11-4 drubbing of the Dodgers. They'll look to send that series back to L.A. tonight when Garrett Cole takes the mound opposite Jack Flaherty for the Dodgers. First pitch from Yankee Stadium set for a little after 8. Experience the essence of Boston's culinary and cultural scene at Timeout Market Boston, nestled in the Fenway. From live music sessions to food and beverage tastings and everything in between, Timeout Market Boston showcases the best of the city under one roof. My name is Zach Coe, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. More KJ and Fitzy coming up after this.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go.
Wherever you go.
Just download the Odyssey app.
We're right back to it. It's KJ Carson on WEEI.
You're all I've ever wanted, but I'm terrified of you.
Yeah.
So maybe haunted, but I'm terrified of you.
How they do it down at ATL, shawty? KJ and Fitzy on WEEI. Happy Cabbage Eve for those of you probably living under a wharf in Gloucester. I've never heard of it, but Devil's Night, Mischief Night, whatever, however you celebrate it. Well, the other part of it is, like, at this time tomorrow night, you can't be doing a bunch of Halloween stuff because now you're kind of going against what the law wants you to do. Get your ass in the house when it gets dark.
Yeah, and also at this point now, by 7:30 tomorrow night, we should be posted up at a neighbor's house fire pit going, although we're not going to really need the fire pit since it's going to be in the mid to upper 70s tomorrow.
Right, it's supposed to be like close to 80, yeah.
Adult bevs will be slinging, the kids will be in the great American candy trade, and I got to tell you.
So you switched to work tonight so you can get drunk tomorrow night.
I switched it so I could take... any night's the right night. Listen, yeah, I'll stay up tonight.
Who I'm talking to here.
Hey, listen, KJ, if the Dodgers take care of business in the Bronx tonight against the Yankees, I'll be staying up popping the good stuff tonight, okay? You know.
Okay, so about 20 minutes, Fitzy wants to know what's worse, the Reds, the Yankees coming back on the Dodgers or the Chiefs getting 7 Super Bowls. That's about 15 minutes from now. We've been talking Patriots virtually the whole time because the situation with Drake May and the concussion, we don't necessarily know where he is in the protocol in terms of steps 1 through 5. We can assume, but that's not what our role is here. We can just tell you what those steps are. If you didn't know, I'll just tell you real quick. Step 1, light aerobic exercise. Team meetings, if they're tolerable, like, you know, like, I don't know, some people are giving, like, the speech, be like, oh, my head hurts. Yeah, you don't want that. Step 2 is 20 minutes of running on a treadmill, riding a stationary bike under direct supervision. Phase 3, which is where I think the question mark may lie, was the introduction of individual non-contact drills, strength training and cone drills. Then 4 is the non-contract drills, including throwing and catching. And then 5 is full participation. Let's go to Steve in Fall River. Steve, thanks for calling KJ and Fitzy on WEEI.
Thank you very much. I called a previous show a couple of days ago, and I said about Drake May's concussion. I said, well, he's not Josh Allen. And there's 2 reasons he's not Josh Allen. He's not as big, and he's not as strong. And part of his game is running. And they told me, well, Josh Allen had a concussion. So I did a little deep dive to look up Josh Allen's concussion. And he was knocked out of a game against the New England Patriots. And I'm not very tech savvy, but I looked at Drake May's hit. I would characterize it as a graze. This guy grazed his helmet, folks. He did not hit his helmet that hard. Would somebody agree with me that you had to see it in the replay to see that he actually was hit?
That's true. Yes, I would say that.
Okay. If anybody wants to look at what Jonathan Jones or one of the Joneses did to Josh Allen, he almost executed him. He also had another hit that he hit his head on the side. This is Josh Allen. He didn't even come out of the game. So my point is, I'm worried that this minor contact to his head has got him in the concussion protocol because two things. He's the youngest player in the league. Does he look really like buff? He could use a year in the conditioning program. I'm not saying he was as bad as Tom Brady coming out of the combine, but he's, repeat, the youngest player in the league, but automatically he's going to get a little bigger and stronger. He's not 240. He's 230-something. He's not as big as we think, and most of his game, regrettably, is running. You've already said it. He's using his feet. He's going to be in harm's way. And if he misses this game this week because he hasn't recovered from what you and I'm telling you, a minor hit to the helmet, if you want this guy not to be the next Tua Tagovailoa, you can't play him. If he's going to be running him out. That put him out for 2 weeks. We got problems, my friends.
Steve, thanks so much for the call. Yeah, I guess the other part of that, though, Fitzy, is that Drake May did play more plays after that. It was a call down from the league to get him out of the game versus Drake May saying, like, or you didn't see what you usually see is, like, they're taking him to the blue tent. Like, it was almost like they had to tell him to take him to the blue tent. So, the grazing, yes, again, we don't know the grade of concussions because is there like grade? There's not a grade one, grade two, grade three. It's just a concussion or not. So, you know, like, again, like I said, we'll have to wait and see if he's in state. If he's in phase three, if phase four is tomorrow, then there's a chance for him to be fully cleared on Friday. If phase four isn't tomorrow, then there's no way he can get to being cleared on Saturday because they're not going to be practicing.
There actually are. There actually are grades to concussions.
Okay, there are. I didn't know.
So they're great. They go from it's interesting because there are the five steps in the concussion protocol to getting back.
Okay, so that's how they match them, right? So a grade one,
zero to four, actually. So zero is a minor headache that resolves,
which would be
quickly.
Phase one, right?
I wonder if he was grade one, a mild concussion with no loss of consciousness, but may cause a dazed feeling, headache, dizziness, nausea, memory loss. Then there's grade two, moderate concussion, brief loss of consciousness, headache, dizziness, confusion, amnesia, irritability. Three is a severe concussion that features a loss of consciousness for more than 5 minutes.
Right.
Wow. And grade four is a loss of consciousness that lasts longer than one, basically, like if you're out for a while.
Right. So that makes sense because the zero to four matches the phases one through four, where phase five, you're cleared. Right. So so that makes total sense. Let's go to Joe and Randolph. Joe, thanks so much for calling WEEI, KJ and Fitzy. Good evening to you.
Hi, gentlemen. Really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
It's nice to listen to intelligent radio on WEEI for a change. I had called the other night and talked about using a fullback and a halfback for the Patriots offense, kind of like Zonker and Kick. And tonight I'd like to suggest that perhaps they go to a no-huddle offense and put a lot of pressure on the opposing team's defense. A lot of the criticism has been focused around all the time it takes for the Patriots to complete a play and how long Jacoby holds on to the ball, and all of the yada, yada, yadas. So I think maybe a no-huddle offense might speed up the game and put a little more offensive perspective on the Patriots' side of the ball. What do you gentlemen think?
Joe, thanks for the call. And I do remember his call from the other night because I think I joked about, you know, do you put leaded or unleaded gas in the call after talking about Zonka? But
I was just going to say, can I borrow a cigarette on the airplane, Joe?
Right, exactly. How much engine you got on that block there? No seatbelt to the car? No, but look.
he had me at no huddle offense, I got to be honest.
Well, here's the thing, though. it would be another type of protectionary thing that you could provide for Drake May. You'd already say kind of running out of the shotgun already is a form of protectionary measure. If there would be a reason, a very good reason to say let's hold him out is if the line gets beat really bad on the wrong play and the jarring is severe, does it take, as we'll talk, we'll go back to Steve's call, does it take what looked like to be a small thing and make it an even worse thing? And now you might be like, okay, you might have to shut Drake May down pretty much for the bulk of the rest of the season.
That's my concern. It's right now we're at this weird, we don't know the grade of the concussion, but he's still in the protocol.
Right.
We know the team wants to approach it with an abundance of caution because he is the future, and everything good that may happen to the Patriots in the immediate intermediate and long-term future,
it's tied to him,
is
right.
110,000%. I still wonder, though, here's the thing. I wonder if the team is thinking like, hey, no, we got to go out and win this game this weekend. Like, it would be great if we could get him back in there versus like, let's slow play this, guys. Let's slow our roll with him because we don't want to make him concussion prone. We don't want to get him dinged up again. And at this point, we have the confidence we had in Brissett coming off of week one since we're playing a pretty lousy football team. If this were a different team, like let's say this were a 4-4 team. Let's even say they were playing the Cleveland Browns. I would think maybe they would, if they really wanted to get after it, they would try to expedite the timeline. Whereas against the Titans.
Oh, hell no. Not against Miles Garrett off of that edge.
Okay. Right. Fair point. Maybe
Tennessee.
Maybe the Colts.
Yeah, the Colts, but here's the thing. The Colts are still a couple weeks away, so you still have a bit of time before you get to that point. You know, I think probably the person who is very adamant about saying they're okay is Drake May. And I think the locker room is seeing this kid fight to play versus, you know, okay, I'm going to be very, very cautious and all these different things. And I'm not saying that any players are like it was just a flesh wound or anything like that, because everybody's body is different. And how often who has brain day, right? Like there's no machines you can go work out your brain. So when it gets shook and rattled, you just have to be cautious. I totally understand that. But I think there's probably a real desire of Drake May, who's trying to let the team know that he is okay. He is cognizant. He's probably taking his time I don't want to say he's rushing the steps, but I think he's clearly making himself verbally available to the team, letting them know like, hey, I just wanted to give you a call and let you know it's 7:37 and I was able to dial the number without having to search for it in my phone. I don't know what that means in the test process, but I just wanted to let you know that, coach. All right, I'll talk to you in 2 hours. So that type of eagerness is going to feed energy in that locker room, which needs it. What was the conversation 2 weeks ago? And what's the conversation now? And a lot of that really has to do with the play of Drake May and really his determination to still be out there on the field during this protocol process.
And, you know, the funny thing is, no matter how much they want him in for the game plan, mm-hmm. no matter how much Gerard Mayo believes him, no matter how much he opines and begs and pleads for a chance to get out there Sunday and get his first win from start to finish against a very subpar Titans team, they still are going to probably follow every last little tenet, rule, and protocol.
Oh, yeah, they won't shortcut.
Like, if we're looking, like, KJ, if we're looking like, you know, if the needle goes all the way to the left, they're 100% in on him, like, you know, damn the torpedoes, we're going to start him, versus, like, if the needle goes all the way to the right, like, hell no. I have a feeling it's like the needle is like at 60, you know, starting to lean a little bit towards
minus five dBs somewhere in there.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, radio frequency guy. This is radio. You should know this stuff, right? Ryan in New Hampshire, thanks for calling KJ and Fitzy. You're on WEEI.
Hey, I just wanted to make a quick couple comments about concussions and kind of clear up a couple public misconceptions, I guess.
Okie doke.
So the first is that technically you don't grade concussions anymore. You're either concussed or not concussed. And it's more about the symptom response than the hit itself, as the last caller said. Because May didn't get hit hard, but he got hit in the right place. And it's less about the violence of a hit or a collision to the head and more just about the hit itself.
And Ryan, by any chance, are you in the medical field? You don't have to tell us exactly what it is. I mean, you could be a podiatrist. I mean, it's more medical classes I've taken.
I'm an athletic trainer.
There you go. Okay, perfect. So you are in the medical field, right? I mean, hey, it's broken.
Yeah,
if you can say it's broken, you can die. That's medical, right?
Right. I mean, I work daily with football players and concussions every day, so.
Well, Ryan, thanks for clearing that up because, yeah, I appreciate it. We're up against a break here pretty soon. But, yeah, so I thank him for kind of clearing that up because it seemed like at one time you used to hear a grade, you know, it's a grade level, and now you don't hear it as much. So I'm going to side with the person who, like, sees these guys and can tell them it's broken, that I didn't think there were grades anymore, so maybe there aren't grades anymore.
My bad, Coach.
Yep. No, that's okay. I mean, you know, like you know, as you mentioned earlier in the show, if you missed it, the Odyssey app is free. Type in WEEI, go to WEEI at night. You can hear it chapter by chapter. Fitzy did mention earlier that we are not doctors, nor do we play one TV. And he said he didn't stay in a Holiday Inn Express last night. I happened to be one. I took a bath in the sink in one last night.
Where were you?
That's
when
a lie. That's a lie, right?
We're gonna have to recount that one.
My wife is downloading the Odyssey app right now. Evidence. So I'll tell you what. We still haven't gotten to the different players. We'll get to your text messages next in terms of who the Patriots may be looking at. And then also we have, would you rather, more likely to, either or. So we kind of have to break into the scene here on the KJ experience here on WEEI. We'll play a little game here next. Thank you so much for spending your Wednesday evening here.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go.
Wherever you go.
Just download the Odyssey app.
We're right back to it. It's KJ Carson on WEEI.
Probably the most annoying Halloween song of all time, but everybody sings along to it. KJ and Fitzy here on WEEI. Halloween Eve, Cabbage Night. We've discovered that. Mischief Night, Devil's Night, all leading into Halloween for tomorrow. We'll get to your text messages here shortly, and then we're about 3 minutes away from Would You Rather, More Likely to, Either Or, the award-winning show. Now, I've not received the award. I've been told I have some prize coming from the company. I don't think it's for that feature, but until I find out what that prize is, I'm going to presume that that's what it is. So, some pretty interesting, it's almost been like spooky here over the last couple of days here. Have you seen the Belichick X text about, oh my gosh, going as Uma Thurman? Not Uma Thurman. Yeah, wasn't it Emma? Who played the... in Kill Bill,
Uma Thurman played the bride.
That's right. So she's going as Uma Thurman in Kill Bill. And let
subtle.
Me, well, it's not so subtle. And here's why. John and I have we've spent like a 10-minute break one night talking about why I totally get Belichick with the 20-something-year-old and why he's probably not coming back to the NFL. Because look, if you're enjoying your life like this right now and you're wearing a Taylor Swift era shirt with a little cut in the middle, bro, you're kind of heading towards a direction that says, yeah, you're really not going to be able to run men like that. See, with the 20-year-old, Belichick is going to always be fascinating to the girlfriend. With Linda, the ex, it's going to be like, you know, what do you think about work? You ever thought about, like, maybe this isn't just for you anymore? And it's just like, oh, God. You know what I mean? Like if you're Belichick, and let's say your girlfriend is 20 years younger than Belichick, putting them in their 50s, right? They're still going to have super solid opinions that's going to make you be like, damn, see, this is the reason why my ass ain't married no more. You got something to say. You know, like, oh, you know, Bill, try to get him to try some, you know, some squid. He just wouldn't do it. It's like, ah! Where the 20-year-old is just kind of like, I just find your mind fascinating, and gosh, you're so much more than football. And it's like, it's kind of revealing. And where's the proof in that? The ex goes out as Uma Thurman in Kill Bill, right? Like, you're going to be petty and in your 50s over a 20-year-old? Like, girl, like, don't, girlfriend, don't let him steal your sunshine.
I know, but I got to say, if you're going to do petty, then full commit. Don't do first, second, third, or even fourth gear. Drop the hammer all the way down to the floor.
Now,
that was such a great, that wasn't a shot across the bow. That was a full-blown midnight
battleship.
Assault.
Yeah, well,
oh,
you know,
that was great.
I guess mean, next week. Maybe.
She goes as the bride in Kill Bill, and she knows whoever sees that photo, which she didn't do anything to stop from going hyper-viral
there
today.
There you go. She knows it because She's going to see it.
Oh, it's amazing. And it's also a great movie. By the way, side note, I'm a Kill Bill Volume 2 guy over the first Kill Bill.
The best Kill Bill scene to me is when Uma Thurman goes up against Vivica Fox. Like, that's my favorite showdown.
Phenomenal. That's one of the best fights in movie history.
Yeah, that's the best fight. So that's in Kill Bill 2. However, if Linda really wanted to take the pettiness to the next level, she should have had her date come as none other than, who do you think? If you're thinking, I'm thinking the way I'm thinking.
Tom Coughlin?
No, even better than that. She goes as Kill Bill, and her date goes as, hint, Super Bowl.
Oh, Eli Manning.
No, better.
David Tyree?
No,
Malcolm
better.
Butler.
Thank you, Zach.
Pure guess.
Oh, you want to talk about just putting the dagger underneath the fingernail. Whoa.
I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen a girl fight, but Linda's kind of starting a little girl fight by going as Kill Bill. Let me get on her social, see what she's got to say. And that's what I'm saying. Like, I totally get, like, if I don't know the preface of what went on with Linda and Bill, I could care less. But if you're taking a stab at your ex going as Kill Bill, what you're really saying is, I'm really hurt that there's a 20-something on your arm. She used to be a cheerleader. It's not like she worked in the cafeteria. And I told you I was working on some things about myself. I'm sorry.
It's been a hell of a week, KJ, overall.
So here's
That's
the bigger
not
one.
Personal. A hell of a week overall for everyone involved in the dynasty in a romantic capacity.
Oh, how Bill, about, well, how about Tom? Well, yeah. How about, what do you think? I think this is the big story here. Is Tom Brady putting out the Stevie Nicks lyrics of a song that the Dixie Chicks did that's an old Fleetwood Mac song that I don't think was ever, that was released as old Fleetwood Mac, but he put out the Dixie Chick lyrics of it, about Giselle being pregnant by the jujitsu boyfriend. Mm-hmm. That is, I will say this about Tom, and I have a newfound respect for what's about to go on in Tom's life. Tom is about to get some of that full-on experience that some of his other players had in the locker room. Like, Tom, what's going on, man? You got a baby daddy issue going on? Like, here's what I think is going to end up happening. Because what's tough about that is, if Giselle had married the guy and they were having a family, I could say that would be one thing. But it's because it's the boyfriend. That's got to feel a little bit different. Like, mom's boyfriend is having our little brother or sister. Here's how I think it plays out, and Tom put the little salvo out today.
All right, Tom.
Do not be surprised if in 3 years the jiu-jitsu boyfriend is out of the picture. Tom and Giselle are back together, and they have their entire family under one roof, right? Because Tom has a child before he got married to Giselle and their children. So why would not Giselle bring the other child in, and they become one big nuclear family again? I think because you know what the conversation's coming in about 3 or 4 years. Tom, I know things are different, but, you know, jiu-jitsu boy can't provide for my son the way that Raiders check and that those things can.
I plead the fifth.
Look, I can only speak on it because I have a little bit of knowledge how these things work. I'm just saying, don't be surprised in about 3 years because if Giselle got married to the jiu-jitsu guy, and keep in mind, remember the jokes at the roast that Kevin Hart made about the
jiu-jitsu
guy?
Dude, I was going to say, if Giselle was going to get revenge for getting her feelings hurt at the roast, this is a hell of a way to strike back at Brady.
Well, you think it was a strike or a takedown? I'm totally kidding. That's a jiu-jitsu joke.
Who's gay?
No, I'm just kidding. I think the stars are starting to align for Brady to pretty much kind of do like a modern day 4-page letter about this situation. It's almost him kind of wondering, like, you know what? The real championship he could win is to have Giselle back together with the kids in the house and accepting Giselle's jiu-jitsu boy. As well as his son as well. Like how Arnold Schwarzenegger's son with the maid is now part of the Shriver clan too. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, clearly he has kind of an Austrian Monterey City vibe to him, but still part of the clan. So it'll be very, very interesting how that plays out. I think Bill's ex is going as Kill Bill, and Giselle just announced that she's having a baby by the jiu-jitsu boyfriend, not the husband. Not an engagement, the boyfriend.
And the friends are all say, she's never been this happy before.
But you know what? He's a jiu-jitsu lover. You know, how can you do that? I mean, purple belts, red belts, orange belts, yellow belts. You know, they're all belts. They just come in different colors. Giselle isn't going to want to be in the middle of that, finding him in some Brazilian, in some San Paulo disco, bumping and grinding.
Brady hasn't gone public with any paramours, loves, flings, etc., since he and Giselle consciously uncoupled, I guess, a year ago.
I think he's really feeling this now. It's a different ball game now.
It's weird. He doesn't have his true love, football, anymore. It's a look at the desperate ways. I won't say desperate because he's well compensated and he's still in the public eye. But, like, he's the lead Fox guy, and he's not exactly killing it because he's minorly compromised, because he bought into a team, but he bought into a weird team, and he told us he was forever a Patriot, but now he kind of owns the Raiders. It's just, I feel like Brady's a little bit lost right now.
You know who he needs? He needs all over the map. He needs Will Smith and Hitch. He's the Kevin, what's Kevin's last name? The guy from King of Queens.
James. What?
Kevin James. He's the Kevin James character in the Switch movie. Like, he's just hopelessly in love, and the love that he's lost is just kind of devastating right now. I feel for Tom right now. Brother, our birthdays are 2 days apart. You're a Leo. Remember, she will always respect the mane. Sometimes you just got to get them hairs up. Let them know what's up. Sometimes this is tougher than negotiating with Kraft and with Bill, I think. So I'm pulling for Tom. I think he'll get his family back together in about 3 years and will accept, Jiu-Jitsu Boy as part of the family as well. 37937 before we get to Would You Rather. What you got on the text line, Zach?
One texter doesn't want to see Jacoby Brissett start this weekend. If Drake May can't go, he wants to see Joe Milton.
It ain't happening.
It's not happening, but it could happen because a lot of hits that Jacoby Brissett had been taking were one of those. He was going, I got to get back up. Now it's almost kind of like, stay down. Let's at least see what Joe Milton's got, at least for a game. I don't think you start Milton, but I think by him now being the number two quarterback, you do have to realize anything potentially can happen. Anything can happen, and Joe Milton may end up in the game.
Let's say Jeffrey Simmons comes flying around the corner, just up the gut, bam, down goes Brissett. He needs a blow or maybe a quarter or could be out for the game. Pats fans will get their wish, and you'll see it's a very limited route tree. It's a very limited playbook, but damn, that guy can scoot, and he's got a cannon.
But could it be the road to a second straight win? That's all that – when those 60 minutes go off and it's 1 second after that and a second after the double zero.
Can you imagine my post-game show on Sunday? You'd have to call in, KJ. I would insist you call in. If the Patriots – okay, if it plays out like this, Jacoby Brissett starts the game on Sunday, but he now gets knocked out. And then Joe Milton comes in, and he gets the unlikely win in relief. Brissett gets the dub, and then Joe Milton becomes the latest in a series of successive heroes, unlikely so, in Patriots Nation. That would be my new favorite official scenario.
Damn, I got to do all that just to be on the Sunday, just to show up on the Sunday show? Like, all that has to happen? Shoot, why don't you just throw in there a rock crater hits the middle of Gloucester? Just throw that in there, and then, I'll be on the show on Sunday. All right, still to come. I'll get to what's going on with some of these contracts that are up over the next couple of years who the Patriots might look at. It's an interesting list that's out there getting ready for the trade deadline. But right now it is time for... Yeah!
You, rather more like the two. Either or, I ask of you. You, rather more like the two. Either or, I ask of you.
All right, three questions. Would you rather, more likely to happen, an either or? They can be in anything, sports, life. Here we go.
All righty. Fitzy's inaugural, would you rather, more likely to, either or?
Just hold the pillow tight.
Make sure the seatbelt is fastened and the tray is in the upright position.
The idea is you don't touch the rail after the third rail has been established. First question, Zach.
Would you rather the Patriots be active sellers at the trade deadline or hold on to as many players and stand pat?
I would rather the Patriots be active buyers. Now, I know that was not an option on the table, but between the two, I'll go with active sellers just because I know how much more they need next year. I don't want to see KJ. I don't want to see John Jones go. I think he still has immense value, and he showed it off last Sunday, switching to safety, the positional versatility, and the leadership he's showing in the void that is having captains who just have been dropping like flies this year on the team. But if you have to sell off a couple parts just to build for a brighter tomorrow, I'm holding on to Godshaw. I'm holding on to John Jones, but everyone else, KJ Osborne, you are a Baltimore Raven.
Well, I think if you get two guys gone, I would think that would make you an active seller. I don't think you get rid of the best pieces you have. But holding on to as many players and standing pat, do you see where the team is standing right now? Do you see how many players aren't they're barely available for prime time. So being an active seller means that at least you will get some type of capital back and at least be able to get a reset next.
More likely to happen, the Patriots win 5 games or they're drafting in the top 2 of the 2025 draft.
That's a 5-banger all day. That's an Abe Lincoln right there. That's a Finsky. You know what I said? I tipped the guy a Finsky. Oh, hell yeah. No. They're not picking top 1 or 2. I think there's a couple winnable games left on the calendar. And you watch what happens. If they win this weekend, they're going to start doing the most dangerous thing in the world, KJ Lasso. They're going to start believing.
Oh, really? Yeah. Well, look, that's a bite of the apple there. Yeah, Apple TV, right? Look, I think the Patriots are designing themselves to win at least one more game than they won last year. So that way you could say, despite everything we've seen, there's been progress. If they're drafting top 2 next year, that would actually be in a worse position than they were going into this year. So I think winning 5 games, I think that's kind of one of those immediate goals to say that Jerod Mayo had an improvement over the previous year and that you see some things moving forward. All right, next.
While trick-or-treating, you stop by a shady house where they offer you either a sheet that looks like candy buttons or a saran-wrapped dipped candy apple. Which do you take the chance on?
Zero chance I'm grabbing those buttons. Are you kidding me? I have no idea what the THC or the psilocybin content of that could possibly be. No way. I'm not falling for candy buttons that have me seeing melting walls for 12 hours. Hell no. I'll go for the apple.
Hey, I own every Grateful Dead studio album, so I might go for the candy buttons just to say, hey, this is a Cherry Garcia trip, man. Because the candy wrap, the saran wrap dip candy apple, that screams like anthrax in between like the saran wrap and the candy apple. I might fall right out from the candy apple. I'm going with the candy button. So that is would you rather, more likely to either or. Fitzy, it's been a pleasure having you. I know you're dipping out. But I'm going to make sure that Ken sees that the additional hours are not on the timesheet because my ass is doing the rest of the show by myself.
KJ, it was a blast. You told me it was going to fly by, and I had no idea that it was going to be at warp speed. Have a great rest of the show. Shout out to you and John Lyons. You guys do an awesome job. I appreciate him giving me the chance to take my kids trick-or-treating and enjoy All Hallows Eve tomorrow night. Have a great rest of your cabbage night, my guy, and I'll talk to you Sunday on the post-game show.
All right. Take it easy, Fitzy. Continues next here. I'll be here with you here on WEEI through 10. Thanks so much for hanging out.